most welcome, and thank you also for coming on a Monday. We all know that we all supposed to have been in our constituencies and we have programs, but I thank you for prioritizing this particular committee. This will probably be our last meeting. And then we submit the report. I've got two afternoons for transportation. I've got an apology from Honorable Singh and Honorable Minuta. Honorable Minuta, last week she couldn't come because she was just buried her son and now she's going in for an operation in hospital. So she won't be here. Oh yes, and Honorable Dikande also is in a program. So those are the apologies.
Chairperson, I know that the latest or newest member of the NCFP, Leon Jones, he is that if they're allowed to talk, I'm going to join him for the latest morning to see whether he can join us. He is outspoken to him about the security and said that, you know, he's got a 20 minute review and half past two. If he had known beforehand that he's now a member, we could have made it, but I mean, probably not be possible for him to join us because of that.
Thank you very much. I just want to tell you something. He advised us of the quorum and if we need to take decisions on time. The meeting of John Chubin be based on how many are there from NA and how many we have a committee that has been constituted. So it's supposed to have the number of members present to be able to correct instead of, I mean probably before we were constituted it was an issue, but now that we are constituted we are now one. Parliament and other committee of parliament. And it's supposed to be the numbers that I hear that guys are
May I just address you on a point. An ad hoc committee is established by resolution of the House. Each political party is asked to forward names to the chief board in order to constitute the committee. So if a member's name was not submitted by the chief board, we can't just co-opt members onto an ad hoc committee. That's the rule. I'm just clarifying it so that if there are members who were not here from, who were not, part of the ad hoc committee and just co-opted to co-rate, that is not acceptable. But I think in order to be co-rate, we needed 11 members of the 20 or 21 that was there. And I think we have the number.
That's the point I was dealing with. Never, there's nobody who was co-opted. All these members, there's no co-opted member. Actually, it is the DA that has a problem in the National Party. The person who was here then is no more a member. And the person who replaced him is supposed to be the one who comes to this meeting. So the committee section was informed later of the name of that person. So it is that person who is actually. But others, it is not, something, it's nothing we can do. But we are 11, and I think we can continue with the meeting. Thank you very much. And once again, we have members, most welcome, and thank you very much once again for making time to.
No, I was just going to say, Chair, for the NA, it does collaborate, but for the NGOP, it doesn't present the challenge, because you would simply okay.
Honourable members, I hope that you did look through the report. We did go through page by page the summary of this report. We did also indicate that we did call on some stakeholders who made submissions. We had the Parliamentarian Commission with PAMET came to make a presentation. The Council for Medical Hygiene made a presentation. The judges, through the Office of the Chief Justice, the judge, the National House of Traditional Leaders, South African Local Government Association, the Magistrates Commission, and also EFF had a submission that they presented to the committee. And we did speak of the report goes back to the history of the establishment of the Act, and it also goes to the issues around the reading that were there, the constitutional and the EFF case and other mentioned the administration, and also it looked at the officials that are currently excluded, because PAMET is supposed to be for political office bearers, and in our discussion also looked at if that be the case, the remuneration of office bearers determine salaries for members of parliament, members of the provincial legislature, the judges, the traditional leaders, and local government. So if that is the case, then it means those other members are excluded from the Act. And also the LCC talks of the Senate instead of the NCOP. So based on that, there is a need for an amendment of that aspect. I'm just saying amendment, because whether you repeal or you amend, so there will be an amendment of that one day. The mandate of this committee on its establishment, it was that the House notes that the Parliamentary and Provincial Medical Scheme Act 1975, number 28 of 1975, PAMET, with the compulsory medical aid for retired and current members of Parliament and judges. Further notes that members of PAMET are paying high tariffs, acknowledges the need to inquire into the statutory requirements regarding compulsory membership of members of parliament, and subject to the concurrence of the National Council of Provinces, established an ad hoc committee to inquire into and make recommendations on the impact of parliament. In engaging with the SAGA, the judges, magistrates, so especially the magistrates, the House of Traditional Leaders and SASA was that those organs do not have a home of medical aid and they would love to belong to PAMET. The only snag was that PAMET currently was unaffordable. But we wish that if it can happen that the tariffs are better than what they are now, they are willing, all of them, to come. And I said, PAMET is a small, close team of members of parliament and former members. For PAMET to have options within the scheme, it will need a minimum of 6,000 members. And we are currently about 2,000 or something. So that is one aspect that made the PAMET not to be an open scheme. And the Act made it to compulsory. The also scenarios then that were developed based on the submissions that the subcommittee that was established by the other committee was concerned. There was an assumption used, the members would join uniformly through 2019 with a cumulative increase totaling 300 members by December 2019. And the average membership for 2019 is projected to be 2,507 members. Thereafter, membership is assumed to stay constant. Increases of 10% in the contribution rate have been assumed. Predictable industry-related increases. I wanted to also say that it's one of the submissions, especially by the judges, that is also with our own member support facility here, Linda, who came to make a presentation to us, was that, for instance, the projection for increase for PAMET for 2019 is 9.75%, so it's almost 10%. And say, for instance, say the president signed a 4% increase for us, so the salary would be at 4%, and there's a 6% difference between the increase by PAMET and the salary that we will be getting. If we don't get, it's even worse. There are other years where we didn't get an increase, and over years there has been an increase far above the percentage increase by PAMET. I think it was only in one year that PAMET did not increase its tariffs. Now, having said that, and also having, before I come to the options that we have and also the discussion, was that we said in the last meeting that if I were to talk to somebody who was not here in 94 or in 2007, and when we tell them that PAMET was affordable, it doesn't make sense. So I asked for a payslip of a member. We just remove the name, and this member now 2018 pays 12,146 senas gastos. This very same member in April 2008 contributed 1,433 to PAMET. So when we're saying PAMET was affordable, there's never been a problem with PAMET until Museneke changed the salary structure. And then that goes to option one that I will go into details too. So I requested this salary advice slip so that we can see that when we take an option of going back to that. And I think it is something that as members of parliament for the first time we must ask for a bailout, like others get bailout. So, because probably there needs to be money put to pushing all this imbalance of between salary increase and payment increase over years, and for us then to be at par and be affordable. But I think And I took a sample of two payslips
of different numbers, but the deductions were the same, 1,453. So I'm sure we addressed the scenario. So on the option, option number, we had option. Remember, this committee today is going to deal with recommendations based on the options and whether we change the options or we come with others. We are going to determine what is going to the final report. So this is just options that are out there. Options can be meshed. Options can take options, and they are not in any priority area. So the one option is on structural adjustment at the reasonable discrepancy between salary adjustment and medical aid subsidy, have an access interest and permanent contribution payable by members of the scheme. This is due to the fact that the two state subsidized contribution that was calculated into the total cost remuneration package in 2008 has not been sufficiently adjusted over time. What I've omitted to say was that when the member pays 12,146, there's no employer contribution. That is, when the member pays 1,433 for CPA, the paid on behalf of the employee was 3,341. So two things of the contribution came from the employer and it was paid, and you only contributed 1,433. So the committee highlighted the urgent need of Parliament to submit formal requests, inclusive of the copy of this report, to the Independent Commission for the Remuneration of Political Office Bearers to re-evaluate the status quo and consider reinstitution the pre-2008 position of the cost plus benefit remuneration structure instead of the current total cost remuneration. This formal request to the Commission should highlight the need for discussion between the Commission and National Treasury with regard to the impact of any change in remuneration structure to the fiscal, including tax implications. This position was supported in submissions received, including that of the judiciary. The implementation of this option was the recommendation that the recommendation would not require the current permit to be repealed, nor it require any substantive legislative amendment. Including in this option, the committee, however, identified technical amendments as suggested in this report. The type of technical amendments that we need was that due to the fact that Permit S is outdated, it requires technical amendments such as replacing the reference to CNET to that of the National Council of Provinces. Furthermore, Section 1 of the Permit S refers to the Medical Scheme Act 1967, Act Number 72 of 1967, which has subsequently been replaced by the Medical Scheme Act of 1998, Number 131 of 1998. This requirement of technical amendments to update the drafting style of the Permit Act would have no consequential impact and would be implemented while any recommendation, a recommended structural adjustment are being considered. Also, about the post 2008 time was a modern type of adjustment by the Senate then, which doesn't, it is not balanced or is not cushioned by your salary or the contribution and the deduction or something like that. So it's a modern way while the salary is still primitive, so those two don't match. There's an option of amendment of the voluntary membership, that is, membership to Parliament is made voluntarily. In that, Section 1 of Parliament Act marks the mass membership obligation
is amended to a discretionary may option without the membership pool expanding, the viability of the scheme could be negatively affected. The impact of this amendment option could be linked to scenario 2 with adjustments in forecasting as outlined in this report. To address the risk, transitional provision which needs to be put in place in consultation with the leader of government business, National Treasury and the Department of Health. Such transitional provision would have to look at safeguarding the interests of members who choose to remain with PAMI. These interests would not only be financial in nature in preventing a collapse of PAMI as a whole in response to a foreseeable mass exodus of members, but also in the maintenance of the common benefit advantage they currently get from the scheme. Furthermore, any collapse of PAMI will not only prejudice the remaining and retired office bearers, but the disintegration of PAMI without the necessary legislative, institutional, and fiscal safeguard will be an unfavorable outcome as far as the public interest too, and public funds are involved. If you look at the expand compulsory membership, as the answer debate relating to the previous PAMET Act amendment indicates, the legislature has consistently indicated that there is a need to expand the membership scope to ensure that PAMET remains viable as a medical scheme and keeps costs down. This would be achieved by attending to the scope on Section 1 of PAMET Act membership list to include magistrates, municipal councillors, and traditional leaders. Expanding the membership through such an amendment would have an impact on the fiscal and would require policy discussion with the leader of government business, the Treasury, and the Department of Health, as this affects the remuneration structure of all public office bearers. Consultation with the Independent Commission of Remuneration of Public Office Bearers would also be required. In the event that the membership pool is expanded, PAMET could introduce additional benefit options with the new generation tax to the scheme, making provision for compulsory membership to have the option to structure their medical aid benefits in line with their personal needs. This option should be designed to accommodate younger members. This would allow a scenario 4, read along with scenario 5, as discussed in this report, with the added benefit of the membership pool expanding as the CMS would be more likely to approve the introduction of additional benefit options if PAMET membership could be increased to potentially more than 6,000 members. So the reason why this scheme is closed is because it is small. Got 2,000 members, as we heard earlier on. When if it got 6,000 members, then it would be voluntary. It would be fine, and so if you bring in a magistrate, SALGA, and traditional leaders, you will be able to surpass the 6,009. So, and if on voluntary and expanded membership, if scenario 4 is read with scenario 5, as outlined in this report, with the necessary contextual adjustment, the PAMET Act could be amended to simultaneously allow for voluntary membership and expanded membership fee. Although this amendment could be argued as negating the risk associated with some current members opting to join other medical aid, a step that could potentially result in the collapse of PAMI, there will also be new members joining PAMI. However, this recommendation potential benefit in ensuring PAMI's viability is speculative. As such, an amendment to this nature would still have an impact on the fiscal and would require policy discussion with the leader of government business, Treasury, and the Department of Health. And this affects the remuneration structure of all political public office bearers. Consultations with the Independent Commission for Remuneration of Public Office Bearers would also be required.
And then the other option of repealing the permit act, if it is the will of the legislature to dissolve permit completely and repeal the permit act, the impact of such a step will be reaching consequences, far-reaching consequences for continuation members and staff employed by permit. Which would mean that the labor has to come in and so forth. Extensive transitional safeguards will have to be put in place in consultation with the leader of government business, the National Treasury and Department of Health, which would include the Council for Medical Schemes. Such a step will also trigger labor relations, considerations relating to retrenchment as permanent with an employer, as they are less restrictive measures, that is the structural adjustments and amendment options whereby the adverse impact of the status quo could be addressed, and repeal of the permit should be the last resort if the committee so wish. I just want to say that I think the main point for that brought us together was the unavailability of permit more than the constitutionality. So if you don't get your way on affordability, then you use the constitution to deal with that, which is everybody's right. But I just want members in considering any of the options to also go back that if the structural adjustment is done and I have to pay 1,000, I'm sure by now it's going to 1,000, that is the 1,453 instead of the 11,000 that I'm paying currently. I think, and you see the employer's contribution to your scheme. So I think, just from the top of my head, on however we structure, any recommendation, is that we do need to go back to the pre-Mr. Nete era on the adjustment of our structure. And treasury, we have to come in. And because we also do not know, if we knew when is NHI coming, kicking in, probably it would be an option, but we don't know when is NHI coming in. So let me give to the call chairperson and then open up to members, and then we can then with the secretariat recording our discussion that will bring us to some conclusion.
Thank you, Chair President. Good afternoon, members. I think let's give the first members to make their input on the basis of the document for us, which is not for the first time that we shall be interacting with the document when we can come.
Thank you very much. I just want to, what I'm going to say is what I said during the time when we had our first draft. We had our first draft last meeting, we had the second draft, and then this is the third draft. And my argument was just one, to say the manner in which the structural adjustment is put in the document itself make it obvious for all of us to accept this, and then even the way in which the technical amendments are stated in a simplified manner, as if it will just take a day for the amendments to take place. Why is it difficult for the same way in which the technical amendments and the recommendations on structural amendments, why is it not applied to option 2 and 3? Because I think I did talk about this and that other one, but nothing has been done to change this. Unfortunately, we don't have minutes to refer to. If we had minutes, I would say let us look to the minutes that we have so that whatever I said can be read. I mean, it draws us agreeing to what option, and which is not, according to me, a viable option. Thank you.
On any of the options, I said earlier on, these options are put there in no favorable order, and this option can be merged into one option. This option can be discarded and start from scratch to have other options. You can rework the option one. These are options, and you can amend anything in this document. It is our document to own, to deal with, to put in whatever we want, to delete whatever we don't want, to match two or three things that were not there, or to add new things. So it is up to us, honorable members, to deal with that. Honorable Gillian.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think it is important
I'm sorry to interrupt you. The Chairperson is requesting to say something before you follow the rules.
Maybe it will assist us to make a progress share, maybe to allow Doctor to work on the formulation, because she has raised this question. While Plan is making the submission, maybe on this option B, on whatever option that she wants, the formulation to be different to capture what she wants to be reflected on the document. I think, actually, I'm repeating what I said in the summer, in the previous meeting, because I said members will be free to make their own submission to the secretariat, so that those submissions in the general, in terms of the formulation, can be incorporated. I think let's give you that opportunity to go. I mean, as well.
Thank you very much. According to the submission that we made, in the rest, Parliament must amend Section 1 of Permit Act Number 28 of 1975 to make membership of the Parliament voluntary for certain office bearers, including judges of certain of the Superior Court and so on, and so that the amendment, like it's stated here, the amendment only needs the replacement of must to may.
Now, Ms. Chair, that point and the clause to be amended as proposed by the USF goes to page 27, which is option 2. Section 2. I hope our secretary can capture that. Let's give to Honorable Jan, because she was on the platform and I interviewed on that.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, all that I wanted to say is that the final product that we are going to produce is a product that must be acceptable to all of us. So there is no member of this team who should be made to feel that their views are not being listened to. But I think for purposes of today, Chairperson, I think our particular thrust must be to begin now to speak as a team towards the formulation of some kind of recommendation. Then the recommendation will determine in the final analysis how the report should be rewritten as we proceed. I think what is in the document at the moment, including the options, the scenarios, all those are meant to facilitate a discussion that will take us toward the formulation of what we think are viable recommendations that we want to make to Parliament. Mm-hmm. Once we've begun such a discussion, that discussion will give the final analysis, then determine how we rewrite, how we, you know, we take another view at how the document is written. It must be written in such a way that all of us are happy. But in conclusion, I just want to indicate that when we look at the options, we have agreed that we should not look at them as being this one is number one is superior to the other. It's only that you can't mix them up. You've got one, two, and the other one is option three, which is about the repeal of the Parliament Act. All these options are there simply to facilitate a discussion towards the formulation of some recommendations. So I think we all agree here as members that the final print is going to be what we shall have agreed on. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Marin, for the time.
Chairperson, you must assist me. I was under the impression that during the outbreak we had discussions and that we have had all those presentations and that was reworked into the report that we have considered. And in terms of the agenda and the notice that we are actually today, this is the report that we must consider, obviously with a small amendment like has been mentioned on that option, on that scenario 2, or the option 2, but also that we must come up with now a resolution. So you must assist me if I'm correct that this report must be submitted by month end. It's been that's the deadline. So we cannot now go rewrite this report. Then it means that we will have to sit on a daily basis. And I'm just concerned that there's maybe never a universal understanding or amongst all of us that this is the report that is the culmination of everything that we have done since when was it June or May, when we first met. So all that we need now to do, as I said, except for that one small technical amendment, is to come up with a resolution and which must be a recommendation to Parliament.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. I think my understanding of this report is that this is a report of the portfolio committee that is originated from the proceedings that we had, because that subcommittee was a request from this committee. So I think to me, what we need to, because well, the report has been presented to us now as a committee, what we need to say now, we need to clarify our observations, because we've got all the information, the processes that were undertaken, the consultations that were done until we are here today. So we need to clarify our observations. I think amongst the observations that we have is that the medical, the permit is a closed thing. That is an observation. And that amounts to a low membership. So I'm just citing an example of our observations that should come up. And then we also cite the issue of the projections, annual projections, increase of the medical rates, because they are affecting the members. That is why the members are having this challenge of high tariff with men, the affordability, the problem of affordability is caused by that. And then you also reflect to the issue of the salary package of the public representatives as a whole. Not the, well, we don't have to put ourselves on the members of parliament only, as if we are, but we must recognize the whole public office thereafter. And then I think it will assist us. And then we have those recommendations that we have put on the options and so on and so on and so on. Check. That was my view, Check. Otherwise, this report is supposed to get into parliament this week. The answer is honorable Mara, 8 months, and this month end is something that is far. It's this week. So we have to finalize this and give direction to our support staff, how they will view that the resource report should look like. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. And we also long say, Secretary, I think the one conference recommendation is that the only amendment is that the definition of political office bearer should include members of parliament, members of provincial legislatures, judges, magistrates, judges and magistrates, and then the councillor and the House of Traditional Leaders. Let me have Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I am under the impression that this has been a very silent process. We've gone through this during the last couple of months. We've had numerous people that came in front of the committee and gave evidence. Evidence is quite clear as far as I'm concerned. I think it's a very good report. I think it's a report that should be supported. That we should support. If you look at the different options, because in the end we end up with three options, and technically speaking, any one of those three options could be adopted or could be implemented. However, the different options will have different outcomes and will have completely different implications. Now, option one, basically, as far as I'm concerned, basically indicates that we need to go back to what we had prior to 2008. Before we had the whole question of total package cost to company. You said earlier that you think that the problem with Parliament was not so much a constitutional challenge, the fact that you must belong to Parliament, but that it was a financial challenge. And I would support that. Nothing that I heard during the process from anybody outside brought to my attention a different scheme with better medical benefits at a competitive price, or is it basically if we could go back to the terms of where we were? I didn't hear that from anybody. Our colleague from the EFF is technically correct. It's not a big technical amendment in option two just to say remove that people must belong to May. It's technically not difficult. But the implication is huge. It's a technical, simple little amendment, but the implication would be huge. And I've also heard from people that came in front of us, which clearly said, there's nothing strange about funds that restrict members and say, if you work at this place, you have to belong to this medical scheme. Not that you have a choice, but it's not a question about choice. If you look at our challenge packages, even now, since 2008, when we are supposed to have a total cost of company package, it's technically not exactly like that. For example, the travel benefits of members, which in terms of rand and cents is a huge amount of money. That is not calculated in terms of the package of members in terms of total cost to company. It's excluded, it's a benefit. There's no reason why the medical benefits can also not be excluded in terms of total cost as option one suggests here. My logical approach would be after listening to all the evidence, after gone through all the documentation, after having looked at this report, I would suggest that we recommend option one to the House. Because that suggests we go to the Commission, we interact with them and say, can we come up with a solution? And if we succeed, what would it mean? It would mean that members will have an excellent fund at an affordable rate. And I think that's what we first of all want. If that cannot be done, then we'll have to come back at that stage and say, well, now we have to look at maybe option two, but option two is not that simple. Because option two implies that we also increase the base and bring other people into the fund, which will have huge implications as well. So I'm not saying that we reject any option, but I would suggest that we go to the House and say we start off by recommending option one, engaging that process, and if that succeeds, then we have succeeded. If it doesn't succeed, we'll have to come back and look at other options. But in terms of the practical reality, I think that's the first step and the right thing to do.
Honorable
Dudley.
Thank you, Chair. Just to say that obviously as the ACDP we support that that view and would support putting option four, option one forward, and also as a second member of smaller parties, I'm carrying other people's permission to actually support option one.
Thank you, Honourable Tassel, Honourable Mabe, Honourable Chauke.
Thank you very much, Chair. The reason that we're waiting towards the end of the term, and I think correctly based on the mandate given by Parliament, these other committees, I want to concur that we have an option that we seek before Parliament. But I think we must be able to, if that option goes through, or if it does not go through, get rejected. I think that's one thing that we must know is that the reality is that it may be rejected, it may be agreed upon. But I think Parliament here relies very much on this other committee. We may want to recommend to the incoming Parliament, because generally you will not have another time to deal with this matter. You may therefore want to recommend to Parliament. Hence, the point that we may want to do, Chair, to strengthen option number two, take into account that it will be a work that must be done by the incoming Parliament that will come in the subsequent Parliament. Then begin to note critical areas that we want to recommend to the next Parliament coming in to look at the following. You know, I don't have those issues now, but I think we can be able to accommodate all of those issues. So that the incoming Parliament, when it comes in, we have sort of put in place some kind of a guide that will not be there. But that incoming Parliament will work within the particular guide that we have put in place. So therefore, the amendment number two will have to be reinforced. Package more meat into it so that the incoming Parliament can then work on the foundation as a solid. The principle that we are agreeing on is that to work on option one, this is what we are recommending to Parliament. And then if that then goes through, then we're fine with that. But if it does not, because we don't have time, we then look at option two with further input that we want on that. So I think for preparation for the next Parliament will be very critical that we are able to guide them, because the Lord has gone through what we have gone through of meeting stakeholders and all of that, right, who have made a contribution in the program. So I wanted to make that point across, so that we don't find ourselves living to put the burden of the next Parliament coming in, there's no solution to this. Because all of us may not even come back. We may be ex-members, right? And making sure that we are well covered in that. But there's a point that the Chair raises. The point of having to broaden the membership. Now, the argument that I think was advanced by Falk and the rest of the people, we'll have to take that into account quite very seriously and emphasize that in the first option, emphasize the point that we can process the membership on the basis of option number one, which will then allow the rest of, you know, categories, councillors, traditional leaders. So then the benefit is, because this fund are not meant for investment. These are not investment funds like we deal with a pension money. This is about the health, the well-being of members. That must be spent. So Parliament spends on the basis of you must be healthy to come to work, not for investment. And therefore, the more we bring in more people, the more it becomes lesser for the medical aid to perform. Other than that, then the last option will then to repeal the whole thing and start afresh. With the new law, that will definitely be able to guide the new dispensation. Don't forget that the law that we are dealing with is a very old law that was designed for a very few people, and gradually we have been amending it to try and accommodate you know, definitely in the non-white membership and all of that. We may end up with option three that says repeat the whole thing and start afresh. You know, so those are some of the things that we'll have to take into account moving forward. Because nothing in fact stops us from the start. So you have repeated the whole thing and just an address. You know? So for the purpose of the process, we then come with this option number one that we are now proposing. Thank you, sir.
Again, I'm in Charlton, Honorable Lambo. Honorable Tendobai, I've noted you follow Honorable Marais and then Honorable Kenneth.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Also, the view that you take option one to the House, but correctly so as Honorable Chowdhury, it's the next, as this other committee to put S on its face for those who will be coming in on the 6th Parliament to have a framework, you know, to work on. You know, don't push or put a net after, but we at least lay the ground for them not to start afresh. Thank you very much.
I'd like to take Honorable Kaylin first because she's not spoken. Honorable Kaylin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you. And look, I would support option one. I just want to caution against adding into option one the opening up of membership to everybody, to all councillors and so on and so forth, not at this stage. And I say that because the impact of it on Treasury to subsidize all councillors and all magistrates by the two-thirds that we are getting, we don't want to shoot ourselves in the foot for what we are getting in order to accommodate, you know, other public representatives. And it might sound selfish, but if you read the report by National Treasury, it's saying very clearly that this kind of an arrangement cannot sustain forever, and it would like to also now re-look at the benefits that members of Parliament get in terms of the subsidy. So I would just say, let's be very careful about it. While it's a nice to have, that you have more members and you know, expand your membership base, let's look at the realities and the impact on Treasury and then look at the impact on us. At the end of the day, we are reviewing this for us, first of all. Sounds a bit selfish, but it's just a word of caution. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Maybe before, just to advance on this point, my apologies, Chair.
Okay.
I just want to not miss from Kalyan, and I'm sorry just to put it in that way, but you know, what we're dealing with, we're dealing with a legislation that was designed for a very few people.
Yeah,
without the new, this taking into account this position where we are today. So therefore, the great many, they may not be a need now. But that's why I'm saying that maybe a last option, maybe an option that says that repeat the whole thing and start a new process. That would then, but it's in our best interest, in fact, to make sure that all public representatives have a medical aid, right? But maybe in that process, we may then look at the National Insurance Fund coming in as to how, even ourselves moving forward, it may not be permanent. Because what the minister is currently dealing with of repealing or, you know, cutting all this medical aid, we may find ourselves, all of us as public reps, under medical insurance funds. That's our business. So I'm saying that that point is a very important point, but let us not miss the reality that we have expanded. Public reps are no longer the old arrangement of the national government with the national budget. I think we have gone beyond that, I think, in the last 24 years. So I thought we should note that, Chair, as a guide moving forward, because if we miss this thing, it's going to be selfish ourselves here and really not taking into account. Tomorrow if the council will not be covered. You know, these are some of the things that we have to look at. But what we stand for here is that we make sure that all public representatives, not about the issue of treasure, the state will have to take responsibility at the end of the day.
You see? And once we are elected as a public rep, the state takes responsibility of your benefit. This one, this is the right that one. And they took the matter to court. And the argument that they put there is something else, but got to do with this right of having a benefit, which is a very important right. So I think, yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much for the chance. I would like to put it under record to say I do not support the suggestion that we take only option one to NA for them. Will we take option one and option two for them to decide on what is it that can possibly be best? Whatever the very beautiful formulation of option one that was applied to can also be applied to option two. And the very suggestion that we can leave option two to the sixth parliament, why can't we leave all the options for the sixth parliament to go and decide on this issue? Why the rush? I don't support to take that option one should only be taken to discussion.
I think just before you come around, Mary, the bottom line is that none of this will apply to us now, to the fifth parliament. It is going to be applicable only from the sixth parliament, because Judge Musi is going to get this report and the final recommendation and then make a determination for the sixth parliament.
Chairperson, I just want to, the first point is, remember, if we want to repeal and replace, it's going to take years. So in other words, this is now something, and we maybe have to take a bit of a pragmatic approach. A possible resolution or a proposal for a resolution, as I see it, is that given the history of the investment in Parliament, remember there's a hell of a lot of investments been made, not only in terms of the reserve that is in Parliament, but that has been made up till now. So given that, and obviously given the excellent benefits that we know that the scheme holds for current and retired members, but the increasing reality of the unaffordability of the members, that this ad hoc committee resolves to propose to Parliament to accept option one, as set out above in the report. The other option, the other proposal that I want to is actually the way I want, Chairperson, where I want to link on to what you have said that is not in option one, and that is then propose a once-off correction by Parliament to members to alleviate the non-alignment adjustments since 2007. So that we bring in that one, and then if option one is not acceptable, well, then to embark on a process. So in other words, should Parliament say, no, those two, that one and two that I've mentioned, is not acceptable, that we then not only imply, but explicitly take the resolution to embark on a process to consider Parliament to maintain its closed scheme status, because we know that if it's become an open scheme, that it's a total view of ballgame, and they will probably not survive that. But to strive to expand its membership as considered above, and that links to what Honourable Chowkis also said, make Parliament affordable for current members and to attract new members from other branches of public representatives. Parliament to consider more package options for members to consider in order to mitigate the cost based on their priorities and affordability. And then lastly, Parliament to maintain its subsidy benefit structure for retired members. Because part of the mandate was also the benefit for retired members. That is very much in line with, I think, the proposals to maintain or to recommend option one. But I think those second part, if I can say that, of mine, to a certain extent, accommodate that. If that is not available, then we must embark on that other process. That I think would be in line with, it seems like, from what I've heard, is that is basically how the majority feels about that.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Another
chair.
Thank you very much. Chair, I don't think we should think that we are differing here. We are not differing. It's just that our understanding, the way that we are using to express our understanding, differs here and there. But in the main, I think we are agreeing with the body of the kind of message that we want to send to Parliament. I think the mistake that we must not make, Chairperson, is to discuss this man as if we are still in the previous order, we are in the new dispensation. It is our responsibility as the current Parliament of South Africa to look holistically at the problems that we have. Our problem is not just our problem, it's other people's problems as well. The people that we are referring to as municipal councillors and so on, they are South Africans, they are also of the public rights as well. Our approach must not be seen to be self-centered. We are trying to find a solution for generations to come. This thing is not going to be implemented next year or 2 years time and so on. We must explain in full the extent of the problem to Parliament, not hide anything, not put something on the table. If it is objected, we come back and so on. We don't know who's coming back, who's not coming back. So the proposal that we put on the table must not make somebody comfortable there because it's something that can be achieved in 2 months or 3 months. It must explain in full the nature of the challenge that we are all faced with. So we've all come to agree here after interacting with the municipal councillor, the traditional leader and the magistrate that something is not right there. It is the responsibility of Parliament in the final analysis to make a proposal to that effect so that when you come up with a proposal for a solution, it must be an all-inclusive proposal. So what we are saying is that as a start, you are there on option one, but option one can't go alone. It goes with option two. We must explain to Parliament that the problem is bigger than just the members of Parliament. We must give them the extent. We must also say constitutionally, it is also right for members of Parliament to go to other ministerial aides if they want to do that. So that in future we don't have problems in that regard, you see. So if you open that space there, but you fix permit in such a way that it becomes affordable as well. For you to make it become affordable, your only option is to increase the membership. When the membership increases, then the fees goes down. If you buy anything in bulk, the cost price goes down. But if you buy 2 cases only, then the price goes up. So I think we are agreeing here that in the beginning, yes, option one is the start of the introduction of the matter, but it can't go alone. It goes together with option two so that it explains the extent of the problem. Our secretariat must assist us there to craft it in such a way that it gives you this broad perspective. And then Parliament must take a decision as to what they want to do, because many people who have been involved, not just the remuneration commission, but the other bodies that must also become part of the final option, so that in years to come, we don't have this problem anymore. We look into other areas, but not this one. So I think we are moving closer and closer to each other, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I want to kick to the question.
I want to come in on a few points as part of the deliberations that you are engaging on. Firstly, for our secretariat, there's a lot of repetition on the question. Maybe
for instance, if you go to page 28, the paragraph immediately on top of that option, I request that paragraph to be removed because it's a repetition. Page 28, this one. It's a repetition. Yeah. The last paragraph of that page. Yeah. The repetition. If you check the content.
Can I just kind of, it's not a repetition. It's put into context each and every thing.
Okay. If you go to May I obtain courage to this collective leadership? Why should we engage Department of Health? My sense says people who must be engaged here is treasure, because are the ones that are dealing with the fiscal that shall be impacted on. And yes, the leader of government. And the Remuneration Commission. That's the first point that I want to frank you. The second issue, I don't want to this collective to proceed as if we are not decision makers. We are decision makers, we are policy makers. Now, if we say parents must have options, we are not asking parents. Parents, who is parents? Now, if we'll proceed as if we are asking a favor from parents when we are decision makers and policy makers, we're supposed to be saying, you know, Honorable Chauke made a point, which I was going to make as an intervention, to say, look, we're supposed to proceed, do the shrewd foresight, because we are members of parliament, just public representatives. But it goes beyond us, we are councillors. You know, when we are having a session with magistrates and judges, it is so painful to hear that magistrates can't, some of them, they don't have medical aid, they are covered by their wives, blah, blah, blah. It's so bad. Now, we shouldn't be selfish. It must be treasury that says we cannot afford it. And the proposal that I want to translate again, in option one that we are talking about, is the implementation and enforcement of the Act. You call it FAMBLA. FAMBLA. Let's put it that. Because Parliament, in the long term, Parliament should not be dependent on treasury allocation. That's what we say. In the long run, if we are to use our transformative power, Parliament cannot be dependent on treasury to say, we are allocating you this, therefore, we can't afford what you want. If you want five, we can only give you two. No. It's not supposed to be that. Now, here we are not only addressing our interests, we are also addressing the interests politically of those who are deemed to be public office bearers. And if you want councillors and magistrates to come in, you must force parliament to an option so that you keep in the process of affordability and the process of membership expansion. Now, the way we have to package Secretary, option one and two must be front-loaded as our recommendation, as I say, by this. To take both. Because even if Kumet Ali, Parliament is going to engage Treasure and your Remuneration Commission, it's not given that the amount of the once-off package, like Honorable Marais says, is going to happen. Now, you can't be convening again, say, no, we didn't get what we wanted, therefore. So, hence I'm talking about a shrewd foresight. One,
and two, so that if one, we can only get the half, we know that we have covered the issues that affect affordability, affect political office there. I think that's the position. As a form of summary, in a way, if I can put it that way, honorable member. And the issue of two-thirds, the issue of two-thirds must be clearing up there in option one. We've been listening to deliberation. That should capture, I suppose, the kernel of our
convention. Option
two.
I'm saying.
Option one and option two, that's what we're going to front load as an integrated. You know, let us not look at them as separate, independent recommendations. Because even if you can take option one, you still have councillors and magistrates that cannot afford permit or that are without medical aid. Thanks.
Chairperson, just one thing is if that is the line that we are taking, then we make assumptions as if we do that, then councillors and managers will come on board, which is not the case. They must know they are independent and there are legislation in terms of them as well that will have to change. So we must look at what we want to do now and what we want to be considered for the future. The one thing about option two that is concerning me, that means the voluntary system. Now, how are you going to combine a compulsory and a voluntary system into one, I don't know, because the one speaks against the other one. What I have suggested is that we go for option one, we propose a correction, the one of corrections, but then we also say, because remember, even in terms of options, Ahmed will have to come back to us and say, okay, for us to be able to have hypothetically two options or three options, for simple terms, two options, we will have to add two-thirds on option one, and then we can accommodate a third on for us to survive and to sustain. Because remember, we cannot make decisions which will impede and on the and will impact on the sustainability of farming. Then we can just as well take option three and repeal. So because that's why our departure point is, this is a good medical scheme. We want, first option is to retain this medical scheme, but it's unaffordable. And that's why option one addresses that. Now, if that is not, and in the interactions with the Remuneration Commission and with the interactions of Treasury, if that is not acceptable, then we will, then Parliament will have to come back and say, okay, this is how we can do our calculations. This is, if we make it a voluntary, then there must be official feedback from SALGA and from the magistrate to say, yes, we will come in on these conditions, which they haven't done so far. They only made their submissions basically that it's unaffordable. And then those options can be considered. But to go with too many options that is actually contradictory is not going to help us, I'm afraid. Then, because remember, we've had this submissions from both Palmer, from Salga, so we've had it, so we cannot ignore what they said to us.
And I think the option, I think if we need to go for option one, just option one, we will still have to say, okay, for instance, we go for option one, but it's also structural adjustment, but then becomes an open scheme. It will still have to be worked back to say, if we open it, if members have got an option of belonging to Discovery, Politas, whatever, so what if what they're going to pay in Politas is more than what those in PAMET will pay and subsidized by the state? Then they'll have to work out that the maximum that we can contribute you so much. So whatever option we take, you still need work to be done. You know,
Madam Chair,
just on a point of order, we are opening all the submissions now that have come through. Our job today was to look at the report and to maybe select an option and to make recommendations. And our work finishes when we take this to Parliament. The recommendation about a closed and an open and this and that, we can't do that. That is, the Parliament is governed by an act of Parliament. So whether we say, let's make it open for this person or that person, we can't do that. What we can say is, in our recommendation, that option one would be the most suitable one. However, looking ahead, it is possible that the Act itself will have to be reviewed and amended. And that is the work of the Sixth Parliament. We can't say make it open, or make it closed, or make it voluntary, or must, or may. When you're making changes to legislation, you've got to introduce that the minister or the leader of government says, we know the process. Got to go to cabinet, cabinet's got to send it to a particular committee, and then we've got to sit with it. The reality is we're closing down. We do not have power, capacity, money, or whatever to do that. So I'm just saying, the mandate of what we should be doing today, let's be focused about that, and to cover all the concerns that are raised, say these are in the recommendation. And if we recommend that the Act be repealed and a new Act come into place, so that be it as a recommendation. That's just what I'd like to say.
I don't think that anybody is out of order. I think it is better. When I spoke of opening, I'm not talking about opening it to the public, but incorporating other political offices that are governed by the commission. So that those are the ones that I'm referring to. And I was saying that, and I was trying to explain that whatever option that we're going to take, still going to need work to be done, which is not an overnight thing to be done. It's not just as easy to say we repeal and tomorrow you wake up, it's repealed and there's a new act. Because you can't also leave members there. You say you repeal and then what is there for them? Then somebody falls tomorrow or somebody gets sick tomorrow and there's no mental aid. So there needs to be those safe nets that you need to look at. I think there was also a proposal from Honorable Tambuza that we should also probably put, I think probably it's not well structured, the issue of the observation of the committee, that they belong to be specific in observation, that the main problem is the issue of the packaging of the salary of members. Secondly, is the issue of the increase in permits vis-a-vis the salary increases. The things that you observe that contribute to the situation that we are at. Then, so when we bring in the issues of the ones of alignment, it will then address some of these observations that we spoke of. I think that is it. We agree on option one, and we will also put option two, because the sequence follow each other of both. We say, if we amend to allow the other officer, and I think this is something that the Judge Musi will be looking at, because he's looking at all our salaries, you know, holistically, not just of members and leading the councillors, because the imbalance comes at that point. And if then there's those 6,000 members, then even the options will be there.
So I will say I want a bronze. My family and my pocket fit in this one. And that's it. If you want the platinum one, it's your option. It's an option in that sense that the growth of PAMET will allow it to have different packages that you give bundles that and packages that you can choose from within the same scheme. Yeah, I think so. Charles? Yeah.
I think we've made it clear the rules of the TV chair. What we must then do on the observation, I think there's one thing that we must note, Chair, that we must not miss, is that there is a process of overhaulment of the medical scheme with the National Insurance Health Fund. Let's not turn a blind eye on that process. Let's note that process. Maybe we say, I'm not saying people comment or what, but that note is that this is happening within our state of work here. I think let's note it, but the point again is that if you look at the principal act, the Medicare with the Permit Act, there is involvement of Minister of Health in the process. I think we should note that on the basis that moving forward will then we have to be guided again by the overhaulment of the entire medical scheme in the country that speaks to the national health insurance fund. You know, I think we need to note that, not just tell a plan that I would. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I'm still on the very same thing. We are going with two options tomorrow to Parliament in this debate. The very same front voting that we intend to do on option one, do the same in a positive way at option two, and then we will agree. But if it's a front loading beautiful with a two-step or whatever to support option one, and then nothing is said, only negative things from option two, then
I think
with the input by our colleague here, Tender White, I think we can certainly say we've arrived at a space, Jefferson, where we think that we've successfully concluded our discussion. I think what we are saying to ourselves here is that we want to present to Parliament a comprehensive recommendation that takes into cognizance all this sector that cannot be wished away. I think we are now in your hands. We've said everything that we wanted to say. You can summarize there, but I think the Secretariat has captured the spirit of what we are saying here. That let's not present things then piecemeal, little bit here, little bit there. Let's give Parliament a comprehensive proposal. If it is something that can be addressed in 5 years to come, that is fine. But Parliament represents all the departments, whether it's PEGAR or it's health, everything is here in Parliament. We must expose Parliament to all the challenges, and then the solutions will then follow. So I think we are in agreement here. We are all in agreement that the solution comes out of option one and two, or combined. The third option is the very painful one, but the solution is between option one and two combined. The Secretariat must assist us how the package goes together. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Jefferson. I hear what my colleague is saying, and I understand that you would like to try to find some kind of consensus, but you cannot find consensus about the voting things, of course. To address the immediate problem, is that the scheme became unaffordable. To address that, you need option one. You need option one to address that. That's your view. I've got mine, okay? To address the unaffordable situation, you need option one. And option one means we have to interact with the commission. In the long term, it may be necessary to improve the base of the fund by bringing other people on board. That's a process. It's going to take a long time. If you start off by looking at this stage, you're not going to address the immediate problem, and members are still going to have the current problem where it is unaffordable. So it's stacked in terms of what you need to do immediately. You need to do option one immediately. However, it's not a question to look at the options. It's not that option one is written in a positive language and option two, and option two is written in a negative language. It's not the case. Both options just deals with the facts. If you want to make it voluntary, that people don't have to belong to Farmed, then if you don't want the fund to collapse, you have to increase the base of membership. You can't increase the base of membership overnight. It's got huge implications because magistrates currently have a different arrangement. Councillors currently have a different arrangement. That's a long-term process. If we want to assist members of Parliament with the current problem, you've got to start off with pilot option one. If you want to include option two, then you can say, for the long term, we have to look at the way to increase the membership of Parliament. That's what we can say.
Thank you very much. You know, Dr. Tembewai, what Dr. Tembewai is referring to when he says, if you deal with option one, you can deal with the bulk of our problem. What that means is that if tomorrow Mosi says, yes, I'm going to recommend that we have option one. So it means instead of paying 12,000, instead of paying 12,146, you're going to pay 1,433. So you've dealt with your main problem. And then the second option also is to look at that, the amendment to May or March. But the immediate need for all members is that when he makes a recommendation, he goes back to that structure of the structural adjustment where members will pay minimum and the state pays the 2 cents. And you see it there in your thing. And then we will put the other option. We're going to put it also again, the option two. We're going to put it there. The secretariat is requesting to, it's 20 minutes to rework this option and then we adopt the report.
Chairperson, can I just ask that we just keep in mind what was the mandate from Parliament and what was the terms of reference. Look at the terms of reference as well. But we don't divulge from that and get to a point that we don't deal with that. Primary thing about the cost and the affordability. So I agree that we have got a short term and long term. And if you're going to make a proposal and say short term, option one,
yeah.
Longer term, let's look at various other options. Because again, that's a view, but I mean, I cannot see, being a member for a long time, I cannot see how it can work otherwise. Because remember, and my colleague has said that we have to be self look at our self-interest. That's why we are here. We don't get to look for anybody else but our position. That's what the mandate was, and that came from the Seabrooks Forum, etc.
The mandate was that the House notes that the Parliamentary and Provincial Medical Aid Scheme Act 1, that's of 1975, number 28 of 1975, is the compulsory medical aid for retired and current members of Parliament and judges. Two, further note that members of Parliament are paying high salaries. Three, acknowledges the need to inquire into the statutory requirement regarding compulsory membership for members of Parliament. And four, subject to the concurrence of the National Council of Provinces, establish an ad hoc joint committee to inquire into the and make recommendations on the impact of Parliament.
But you cannot be guiding a chair, by the way, first of all. You can't leave the chair and talk about this. You can't do that. We have taken a decision. The decision we are taking is that the point is going to be amended. We have agreed that the secretariat are going to, they are requesting for 20 minutes. They are going to rewrite this amendment and then they'll come back to us. That's what we want to do. Why do you want the chair to keep on opening an issue of our mandate? You all know our mandate.
Can
you all know the terms of reference.
So mandate and terms of reference are on page 2. Can you have a 20 minute break? So it means you'll be back at 10 past.
So we have 10 or 15 minutes because
we have management rights. Okay. Then, is that observation of the committee that the salary structure change in 2008 from cost plus benefits to total remuneration by the Independent Remuneration Commission had a negative impact on Section 1 of the Permit Act listed on the listed political office bearers, and consequently the increase in permit costs have been more than the increase in salaries of affected political office bearers. The committee wishes to present option 1 to the National Assembly and National Council of Provinces as the recommendation to address the immediate unaffordability problem this salary structure change has caused as it relates to permanent membership, stating which option 2 to the National Assembly and National Council of Provinces as recommendations that the Sixth Parliament must be tasked to investigate with the aim of making permit voluntary and extending its membership base.
Honorable,
I would propose that we delete failure to which, because the first recommendation is, I mean the observation is clear. If we are putting failure to which, means we are not sure of what we are saying. We can just put a second recommendation, because we are not forced to put one recommendation. We can put as many as 5 recommendations, but it depends to the implementation, which one could be prioritized, could be easy to prioritize it. The people are going to implement our, Parliament, are they going to implement our legal recommendation? That's true.
Okay, the
words
we
Chairperson, while you're there, that recommendation that you've made or suggestion about the once-off correction, that I don't think that was put in there, or that been excluded. The chairperson said that for the since 2008 we have dragged so far behind in terms of the gap that is open that a once-off alignment or once-off contribution to align for the non-aligned vote since 2008, that that be part of that recommendation.
So I want to just add that including the ones of alignment. Ones of alignment.
that on the of the observation was that Kamek increase is far higher than the salary. So we need a once off alignment contribution by treasure to bring it to par. On dealing with option one. How do you dilute option one without bringing it to par? You can't just say it goes back to what it was in 2007, because then it's a imbalance of what the increase has been and what the salary increase has been.
So you can counter this as I think and let imbalance
be
started.
Option one to the National Assembly and National Council of Provinces as the recommendation to address the immediate unaffordability problem this salary structure change has caused as it relates to permanent membership, including consideration by Treasury of a once-off alignment to address the imbalance. And further recommend option two to the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces as a recommendation that the sixth parliament must be tasked to investigate and implement to investigate with the aim of making parliament voluntary and extending its membership base. Is it okay?
Why investigate? Because we have investigated. The same applies to the option one.
To implement option two of the report.
Honorable Chair. I think it was correct, the first version that said to investigate, because we have to further investigate, you know, because we have not actually exhausted everything yet, you know.
We are not sharing.
You can't say now.
Further, recommend option two to the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces as a recommendation that the sixth parliament must be tasked to further investigate the implementation of this option with the aim of making parliament voluntary and extending its membership base. But I suggest that because we have engaged those three sectors, let's mention them there because they're in the report. The municipal council, the magistrate, and the practitioner. We should mention it better. Don't just expand as if we have not worked on the issue.
I think as chairpersons, we have authority to give direction to the meeting. I have a problem that when other members are feeding other persons, we are in a meeting here, we should have patience to listen to each other. We will not say anything that you agree with, and you have to listen. Not all your ideas and views will just come in. We can't operate like that. We can't. That attitude of not direct anything in the meeting that is inside of them.
Can I elaborate
for
a second, Chair? I recommend the option 2 to the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces that the Sixth Parliament must be tasked to further investigate the implementation of this option with the aim of making climate voluntary and extending its membership base, namely to include municipal councillors, magistrates and traditional leaders.
May I address you, Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
There may be categories that we have left out by specifying councillors, magistrates and whoever. There may be traditional leaders, there may be a category that we haven't investigated or when the options are explored again that somebody else may decide. I think there is option 2 is looking at widening the membership of PAMED and looking at specifically making it offering it either as a voluntary or involuntary, which means amending the act itself. That's what it says. And I'm just saying by being specific about who we want to extend it to, we may be unintentionally omitting somebody. Why don't we leave it for the sixth parliament as part of the legacy report that they further investigate, and further investigate means to look at every single other option. The sixth parliament may decide they want to reopen the whole process and do it how they want to do it, and there may be consequences from the Multi-Ethnic Commission that will also impact on our recommendation.
My understanding is that office bearers consist of members of parliament that are determined by the commission, the remuneration commission. Members of parliament, members of the legislature, the councillors, the judges, magistrates, and the traditional leaders. Their salaries are determined by the commission. So they form part, those are the ones that they form part of what should be defined as office bearer. Who else can be there? The staff belongs to GEMS.
Can I just say, can we not rather say among others? Because maybe judicial, maybe prosecutors, I don't know. So among others. So then you're talking about those, but you're also saying that they can be there.
We can do that, Chair. No problem. But we must not forget that we have already said further investigate. So when we investigate, even if we mention the three, then they can still come up with something else. So we should not worry. We are mentioning those that are covered in our report. The three are covered in our report. We've met the three sector and with engagement.
So we leave it at that. Okay, among others, please. Now.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to hear from the members, if you come up with option, the recommendation on option 2, you do not want also to...
I know you look too dumb.
I'm trying to ask the members if they don't want another recommendation that will explicitly state that National Treasury should set aside funds for the investigation to assist Parliament to conduct this investigation. We don't know what, because I...
Well, we can say Parliament is set aside funds, not the Parliament. That's a good point, but Parliament.
I want to propose, apparently according to the rules, the number of members from National Assembly and National Council of Provinces. The joint rule. Joint rule number 146 says decisions when it comes to the issue of joint committees appointed by Assembly and Council resolution. Except when the resolutions establishing a joint committee provide otherwise. A question before the committee is decided when there is agreement on the question between the assembly component by a vote taken in terms of the assembly rules applicable to portfolio committee and the council component by a vote taken in terms of the council rules applicable to select committee. But this doesn't say that you must be says when you vote in a respective house of committee.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or
the
committee. So it means then we agree on the final version of the document, but it means we have to come again for to adopt. Even if we require that both houses we just come here tomorrow at 5 and have both components just to formally adopt. The NCOP component is not sufficient.
Maybe that is the chair. What then determined the quorum for this meeting? 11, yes. So if we have 11 members here, we vote for the document. And NCOP is here.
The unit manager is then.
Honourable members, the joint committee quorate when members from both houses quorate. Quorum from NA is 6 members. Quorum from NCOP is 5 members out of 9. Now when the two houses do not quorate, a decision cannot be made.
Chair. My apologies, just to say, can you read the rule for us? Go to the rules and read that rule for us. Please, so that we are clear, I don't want us to break the rules of the other committee.
Except when a resolution establishing a joint committee provides otherwise. A question before the committee is decided when there is an agreement on the question. Underline an agreement on the question. Between the assembly component by a vote taken in terms of the assembly rules applicable to portfolio committee, that's the first step. Second step, and the council component by a vote taken in terms of the council rules applicable to the committee. It means the two houses. There should be an agreement between members from both houses who are correct in that meeting.
And how much is the correction? How much for
6 and 5?
One second. Do I understand the rules correctly? Does both components have to be in the same meeting when the decisions are taken? Because it's two different decisions. The NA must take the decision, and the others must also take the decision. Isn't it possible for the NA component to take the decision on
on behalf of the NH component now?
No.
Do we have to, you know, I understand that, but if I understand the rule correctly, it means that you have to take two decisions. The NA members present will have to take a decision. And the NCOP members present will also have to take a decision. Then if both components agree, then it's agreed.
So the level of the, but you still have to come back and then no chance, no chance. There's no, not one of the health team, we are all those from the like, over here.
No, that's not the case. So personally, I don't have a problem with that, it's definitely not. But then again, we need to propose to this sectional manager or head that this role is not the, you can't have parliament, honorable member, that cannot take a decision. That will take a decision. Please. Please. You know, when we will propose that we have a subcommittee, that's precisely because of program issues. Now, I'm saying, if members agree to the proposal, I'm not far from that. Tomorrow we can convene members of the NCOP and agree on it. It is, we are running short of one member, isn't it? No. Two. Two. We can do that. But depending on the collective leadership. Honorable, is that?
So I think we must vote as NA. Then NCO is no.
Any for, okay, can we do that?
Yeah.
Any?
Okay.
Okay. Members, we don't want to advise members about our interpretation or the interpretation shared by members, because the rule does not explicitly state that. Otherwise, if we allow members to do that, and later on it's found that the interpretation was not correct, then it nullifies the whole process. My submission to the members is, as already requested by co-chair, a specific time be identified tomorrow. We will do our work to get permission from both houses, and then at that particular time, members convene just to decide.
It is honourable members, we know that there is a sitting. We know. That is the house is here. We are right opposite the house. No, yes, they understand. They understand because it's NCOP component that is not here, but those that will be here tomorrow. So it will not even take us 2 minutes.
Honourable Chair. Can I propose that we adjourn the meeting? Tomorrow you convene the meeting at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
We come and vote with those, but we make sure that all everybody from the NCOP, everybody is here, then we vote for the report any time. That's correct. I'm making a
I would second that proposal, chairperson, and just being under the understanding that we come tomorrow to vote not to reopen the
session. No, that's a vote.
And maybe a further suggestion, if the NCO people here, lock them in, please. Lock the doors, the phone cannot disappear again.
Right. Thank you very much, honorable members. Transport has been arranged for those who need transport. Thank you for the consideration. Thank you for your views. The meeting is again. Honourable members, those who want to submit their claims for travelling to here and back. Because they are supposed to have arranged a transport to pick us from the airport to our home. It's not our day that we came yesterday.
I'm not going to be able to do that.